fist rapped smartly against, not the door, but a chest. Lord Payne's chest. His masculine, muscled, shirtless chest, which proved only slightly less solid than a plank of oak. Her blow landed square on his flat male nipple, as though it were the devil's own door knocker. At least this time the devil answered.
"Well," the dark word resonated through her arm, "you're not Thorn."
"Yeah, you're not clothed. And I'm touching your bare chest. Oh, Lord." The mortifying thought occurred to her that he might not be wearing trousers either. She righted herself. As she removed her spectacles with chilled, trembling fingers, she caught a reassuring smudge of dark wool below the flesh-coloured blur of his torso. She huffed a breath on each of the two glass discs connected by brass, wiped the mist from them with a dry fold of her cloak lining, and then replaced them on her face. He was still half naked, and now in perfect focus. Devious tongues of firelight licked over every feature of his handsome face, defining him.
"Come in, if you mean to."
He winced at a blast of frost-tipped wind. "I'm shutting the door either way." She stepped forward. The door closed behind her with a heavy, finite sound. Minerva swallowed hard.
"I must say, Melinda, this is rather a surprise."
"My name's Minerva."
"Yes, of course."
He cocked his head.
"I didn't recognize your face without the book in front of it."
She exhaled, letting her patience stretch and stretch, until it expanded just enough to accommodate a teasing rake with a sieve-like memory and stunningly well-defined shoulders.
"I'll admit," he said, "this is hardly the first time I've answered the door in the middle of night and found a woman waiting on the other side, but you're certainly the least expected one yet."
He sent her lower half an assessing look, "and the most muddy." She ruefully surveyed her mud-caked boots and bedraggled hem. A midnight seductress she was not.
"This isn't that kind of visit." "Give me a moment to absorb the disappointment."
"I'd rather give you a moment to dress." Minerva crossed the round chamber of windowless stone and went straight for the hearth. She took her time tugging loose the velvet ties of her cloak, then draped it over the room's only armchair. Payne hadn't wasted the entirety of his months here in Spindle Cove, it seemed. Someone had put a great deal of work into transforming this stone silo into a warm, almost comfortable home. The original stone hearth had been cleaned and restored to working order. In it blazed a fire large and fierce enough to do a Norman warrior proud. In addition to the upholstered armchair, the circular room contained a wooden table and stools, simple but well made. No bed. Strange. She swiveled her gaze. Didn't an infamous rake need a bed? Finally, she looked up. The answer hovered overhead. He'd fashioned a sort of sleeping loft, accessible by a ladder. Rich drapes concealed what she assumed to be his bed. Above that, the stone walls spiralled into black, cavernous nothingness. Minerva decided she'd given him ample time to find a shirt and make himself presentable. She cleared her throat and slowly turned. "I've come to ask." He was still half naked. He had not used the time to make himself presentable. He'd taken the chance to pour a drink. He stood in profile, making scrunched faces into a wine glass to assess its cleanliness.
"Wine?"
he asked. She shook her head. Thanks to his indecent display, a ferocious blush was already burning its way over her skin. Up her throat, over her cheeks, up to her hairline. She hardly needed to throw wine on the flames. As he poured a glass for himself, she couldn't help but stare at his leanly muscled torso, so helpfully limbed by firelight. She'd been used to thinking him a devil, but he had the body of a god. A lesser one. He wasn't the physique of a hulking, over-muscled Zeus or Poseidon, but rather a lean, athletic Apollo or Mercury. A body built not to bludgeon, but to hunt. Not to lumber, but to race. Not to overpower unsuspecting naiads where they bathed, but to seduce. He glanced up. She looked away.
"I'm sorry to wake you," she said. "You didn't wake me, truly."